Hello, and welcome to SearchCRM.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And as we approach 2017 and wrap up 2016, we're often looking to make sense of some of the trends that are that have marked the previous year and that are coming down the pike over the next 12 months. So joining me today to put some context in on some of these major trends is SharePoint and BI expert Scott Robinson. Scott, welcome.
Hi there, Lauren.
Hi. So, Scott, I'm very much looking forward to this. We always have an engaged vigorous conversation about some of these trends. So I'm going to start with IoT, the Internet of Things. Starting just 2 or 3 years ago, IoT was on everyone's lips. It was really the hot technology. It was sensors telling companies, giving companies data about their products, giving companies data about how customers are using their products, giving them data about where things are happening, and some insight into why. But at the same time, now it's a few years on, and IoT is still kind of, I don't want to say sputtering, but it hasn't taken off in the way that the hype would have suggested. Talk to me about IoT and what you expect next year.
Well, I think you're right about that. I think that when we look at IoT and what we expected, it's easy to say that it kind of let us down. You know, we're not where we imagined we might be. I think IoT is incredibly important, and I think we are going to make big gains in the coming year. Here's the reason why. I think that the purpose of IoT is to create more of a real-world picture and the digital interpretation of reality that we're using to make predictions about, how processes are going to work, about, going to need fixing, what isn't working efficiently, all this additional information that comes from IoT, that's becoming a big part of the analytics picture. And you and I've recently talked about how analytics can fail if we don't have enough data to bolster our decision-making process. Well, IoT is a huge step forward in going in a non-traditional direction to solve that problem. I think the big problem with IoT that I have seen is that it tends to be added to processes piecemeal. You know, there is no general frame for IoT industry by industry that will completely address everywhere it should be used, everywhere it cost-effectively can be used. That's what's lacking right now. And as we go into 2017, that's what I'm expecting to change. We have right now these major cloud platforms that are being used to integrate data from all over the place to support, enterprise processes. Now, these platforms, as you and I have discussed, a number of times the past few months, have intelligence built into them. If we can have, along with those cloud frameworks, embedded frameworks that are IoT specific, I think people are going to have more insight and more flexibility in plugging IoT into their processes. I don't think we're afraid of the technology. I just think we're not quite sure how to use it. I mean, it's everywhere, Most of us walk around with a Fitbit. Well, Fitbit is IoT. Everyone is used to the idea. Everyone has cell phones in their pockets. We're all used to carrying the Internet around with us. And companies that are trying to leverage that and make it work for their business processes simply have to have a top-to-bottom view of everywhere they can plug it in and how to use it most effectively. We don't really have that today, but I think it's right around the corner.
And so just to react to what you're saying, I mean, I think in part of what you're addressing is to integrate it into business process and have it really reflect business process. We're not there yet. But at the same time, would you say that even though that's probably one of the biggest challenges, to make it native, to make it kind of mirror what businesses are doing and just part of the ebb and flow of business, at the same time, aren't they struggling with just digesting the data, digesting it in real time, digesting the volume of it, and doing something meaningful with it?
Well, I think that's a huge problem, and I think it's insightful of you to say it that way, because basically what's happening in terms of grabbing that data and processing it feeds into another emerging technology, and that's the way that the clouds are now offering big data crunch as a service, and that is a proposed solution to this problem. Okay. Well, yeah, that's a step we can go. We can say that these clouds that we need to give us a frame for IoT implementation are also there to plow through the data and to make the data work with the more traditional stuff that we've already got that we're crunching through. Now, there again, I think we have a problem with executive insight and manager know-how. I think that the only way we're really going to get our arms around that is through experience and a lot of trial and error. Now, where we have leaders in this area is the supply chain area. Supply chains are already becoming very adept at figuring out how to take traditional predictive logistics data and integrate IoT into it. I think that over the coming year, we're going to see that they're going to take leadership here. I think that we're going to look to that industry for cues about how to do this well. And I think it's just going to be kind of a difficult learning curve.
So now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about another trend that might not be at the forefront of everybody's mind, but I think it's really fueling a lot of what's happening in the marketplace, which is these what I call kind of platform wars, particularly in the area of customer experience. You know, Salesforce has kind of joined up its CRM with various other capabilities. It's long been stitching together other back office capabilities like financials and ERP, and now it's moving into other things like configure price quote and artificial intelligence and e-commerce. Oracle and IBM are also kind of reaching into this area, SAP. And of course, Microsoft has had a huge year of kind of extending its tentacles into a whole new set of capabilities, both with its LinkedIn purchase, kind of joining up Office 365 and Dynamics CRM and other initiatives. So where are we with these platform wars, and what does it mean for users? Is it good? Is it bad? What does it mean?
Well, I think that that's a tough question, but it's a very important question. I think that there's good and there's bad, and we'll just address them in that order. I think that the platform wars are good in the sense that this functional consolidation from an enterprise price point of view is a very wise direction to go. We look back at SAP, for instance, their ERP platform. 20 years ago, they were really the only name in town, and everybody wanted to do an ERP implementation because it basically was 90% of your business functionality in a single platform, and that was very desirable. But we learned then, and we've all been convinced since, that that kind of monolithic deployment will basically just eat you alive. And I think that the platform wars that we're seeing now are a 21st century answer to that 20th century problem. I think having these cloud technologies out there that are well integrated and solve a host of enterprise challenges and problems all in one pass, I think that's a great thing. I think the fact that they're competing nose to nose and beating the daylights out of each other in terms of feature wars and you know, trying to get to the market first with, you know, this new thing, I think all of that is very healthy. I think where it becomes unhealthy is the fact that the big giants now are so powerful that, as you say, Microsoft can gobble up LinkedIn, you know, for pocket change. Well, the more of this gobbling up that happens, the more we kind of see the whole tech universe funneling in directions that are not as diverse and not as rich as what we've had for the past decade. We've had a mixture of young upstarts who had the power and the innovation to challenge the giants, you know, and now that you've got Salesforce and Microsoft and IBM out there able to scoop up, you know, other companies in the Fortune 500, well, that's not going to be good for innovation. And even though it's a shortcut that we can understand, because these giants want to shell out a few billion and get a whole, you know, boatload of functionality in one pass, it does save time. But it does cut down on the one asset that we really need. We need competitive innovation, and we need it to continue at the pace that we've been seeing it the past few years.
Right. So I concur 100% in the sense that, you know, when you start, you know, M&A, a flurry of M&A, you kind of stamp out some of the diversity and innovation. And you've alluded to that. And then there's also kind of this question of, you know, whether, you know, having having things that you piece together that are best of breed that aren't from one vendor gives you kind of a better suite of products overall. And once you
Yes, it really does.
And so what does it mean for users to kind of have be veering toward this one vendor approach? It's easier in some ways, right? It's one throat to choke. You go to one place for your problems and your answers, but maybe it's not as best of breed anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's touch on another sort of facet of this, which we've started to allude to, which is there have been a lot of serious consolidations in the industry, starting back in at the end of 2015 with the Dell purchase of EMC, Oracle's going after ERP vendor NetSuite. As we talked about previously, Microsoft bought LinkedIn this year. Salesforce has made a flurry of acquisitions over the course of this year. Do you see more consolidations, more M&A in the offing? And I guess let's talk a little bit more about what that means for the market.
Well, I have a big concern when I see these things happening. And the big concern is that this is becoming the new way that tech giants do warfare against one another. That rather than trying to compete on products and services and good ideas, they're trying to compete through sheer financial power. And that has never worked out well in any industry from the consumer's point of view. I mean, it's a way to dominate in a market. It's a way to win. But if you are winning by scooping up smaller competitors or smaller companies that can be leveraged against a big competitor, then you're not really out there in the marketplace competing as a tech giant should. And that's the big concern I have right now. Some of these acquisitions, they don't trouble me. You know, I don't think they're going to be bothersome. We talked recently about the feud between Microsoft and Salesforce, and Salesforce's concern that Microsoft scooping up LinkedIn would be a strategic move against them because Salesforce depends critically on LinkedIn's channel and on the data that it makes available. And if Microsoft were to restrict Salesforce, you know, that would be a real killer. Now, I don't want to see that kind of thing happen. I don't think it's going to happen in that case, but the more we see these companies going at each other in this manner, the more likely that kind of shutout is. That kind of shutout is bad for the industry, it's bad for the companies involved, it's bad for the consumer.
Right, and as you started out by kind of outlining, it's kind of consolidation for the sake of just sheer having the sheer power and volume behind you rather than true feature and innovation-rich things to bring to bear on the market.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's concerning. And when you look at the marketplace and the number of technology companies that are kind of at this level, there aren't, you know, that many of them that are really this large and this capable of kind of absorbing a whole series of new companies into their fold. So it's something
right.
to keep an eye on over the course of the next year. I guess, and I guess my question is, we've seen a lot of consolidation this year. Do you think we're going to continue to?
I think we will, because I think that right now the big giants in tech are scrambling for position. I think that Microsoft made huge gains this year, and you and I have talked about that, and I think now they have to capitalize on those gains. But I also think that Microsoft is a company that's trying to reinvent itself and trying to come up with a new focus. And so the temptation to, you know, take the easy way, you know, and spend $20 billion is going to be overwhelming for Nadella. And I think we're going to see it keep happening. I think some of the smaller companies that are still competitive at that level, like Salesforce, which needs to diversify functionally, and it has, I think that this is the easy way for those companies, and they're going to keep doing this, and I'm not sure that's a good thing.
And yes, very easy way from the perspective of innovation and actually creating new capabilities. But at the same time, there is a danger here, right, that some of these consolidations may also go awry in terms of poor integration, just not coming together either culturally or functionally.
Well, I think that's a bigger problem than we really have thought about, and I think that we're going to be discussing that in the coming year because it's going to become a bigger problem. I think that the integration is basically the path to the future. We've already said in our conversations that, you know, it can't be ultimately one of these companies being the big winner. These companies are going to live side by side in the sky from now on. I think that integration with the companies they gobble up and paths into each other's architectures are going to be critical for the consumer. I think that we need to be building bridges, not building walls. And my fear is that some of these deals may go awry and that it might be more convenient to build a wall than a bridge. And at that point, the industry is headed in the wrong direction.
Right. Well, these are trends that we'll be watching. Scott, as always, we appreciate your insight and your perspective on things. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, happy to.
And I'm sure we'll have you back again soon. And for more on some of these trends, you can always check out searchcrm.com, searchsalesforce.com, and searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.